Joshua chapter number 1. Are you ready to go to church tonight? Amen. I feel God's presence here tonight, don't you? And I found out a long time ago that where you find her, you'll find him. And where you find him, you'll find her. And I thought we'd just come out to church tonight where she's at because I thought he might show up. And I feel his presence here tonight. Joshua chapter number 1. And if you're able and would like to refresh yourself, would you stand with me tonight for the reading of God's word? You pray for us tonight. I learned a long time ago there'll be no preaching unless God gets the arrangements. And I'm depending on him tonight. And the Bible says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and under the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Father in heaven tonight, God, we thank you for the great blessings of the church. God, we thank you for the multitude, the benefits that come from being a part of the body of Christ. Lord, we thank you for the blood that was shed at Calvary. God, now, God, I pray tonight you'd take the reading of your word. God, you'd help me to preach for your glory and your honor. In fact, tonight, Father, I pray, may you be the preacher. May we hear from heaven and may old-time religion live on. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you. For the reverence and the reading of God's word. And I noticed here in verse number 2, God has drawn my heart to a little statement there. It was a declaration in verse number 2. The Bible says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. I mean, God's man, the intercessor for Israel, deliverer, God's servant, had stepped out of this realm and had stepped into eternity, had left the scene and was no longer going to lead the children of Israel. And may I say tonight, my friend, that Moses, as a type of the law, could never take the children of Israel into the land of promise. But Joshua, as a type of the Savior, was going to lead God's people all the way into the land of promise. And my friend, Joshua was going to step up and he was going to take the shoes of Moses and he was going to succeed him and lead God's people across the Jordan on dry land. And my thought tonight, as I look at this, Moses, my servant, is dead. The reality of it is, my friend, whether you and I want to acknowledge it And as much as we like to not think about it, and as much as we want to put that to the side, the reality of this is that each one of us is going to check out of here someday. We've all got an appointment with death, my friend. And one of these days, we're going to throw off this whole tabernacle of clay, and this whole body's going back to the dust of the earth from whence it came. And my friend, it'll be time for the next generation to step up and to fill the shoes of the ones that are here tonight. And this modern culture in which we live, it doesn't seem like we're replacing many old-timers' shoes. It seems like they're leaving quicker than we're replacing them. And I think about the World War II generation, the greatest generation, moving off the scene. Not very many of them left. People of uncommon character and people of uncommon characteristics and faithfulness and a love for their families and a love for their church. And we're not filling those shoes like we once were. And tonight, I'd just for a few moments, I'd like to speak or preach to two groups of people that are here tonight, the elder and the younger. The elder and the younger. I'll leave it up to you to decide which group that you fall into. My wife's got a dear friend. She's 93 years of old, 3 years of age, And I told her, I said, Mary, I said, Sister Mary, I said, according to that Christmas song from children from ages 1 to 92, you're not even a child anymore, even by that Christmas song. And I thought about my dad. We tried to call each other today and wasn't able to make contact. And I love my dad, and he loves you all. And he's in Washington, D.C. right now working for the Lord. And I tell people that I'm Andrew the Lesser. And somebody said, you look like your dad, so I grew a beard. But my friend, one thing about it tonight, young people, middle-aged people, people with families, you that are somewhat seasoned, we need to realize that we need to prepare the next generation to serve the Lord, that we may have old-time religion in the days to come. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses had passed off the scene. And I begin to think about that, and I begin to think how that, can you imagine some young green preacher, someone like myself perhaps, or even younger, going to candidate at a church, maybe a church like this. The pastor's moved on, or maybe he's moved out, or maybe he's deceased, and going to candidate to be the pastor of that church, and ask this question: what was the former pastor like? And some of the elders, the deacons, the men gather around and say something like this. Well, his name was Moses. He was chosen of God. He was born a child of a slave, but he was the son of a queen. He was raised in a palace, but he suffered affliction for the people of God. He was educated in the finest schools, but he wandered in the desert. And the young preacher says, can you tell me something more? Well, he was reared in Egypt, but he tended sheep. You know, that's an abomination to the Egyptians. He was a fugitive from Egypt, but when he came back, he was an ambassador. Hey, listen, he didn't speak well, but he spoke to God. Hey, listen, when he died, no man attended to his funeral, but God buried him. What was the name of the former pastor? Moses. Moses. Oh, listen, not only that, but he had an encounter with God at the burning bush of the plagues in Egypt. The Red Sea parted when he raised his rod. He saw the hinder parts of God. He carried the Ten Commandments off of Mount Sinai. He smote the rock and water came out from it. And he interceded for Israel. And by the way, he wrote the first five books of the law. Levi would have just closed my Bible up and said, maybe you ought to talk to somebody else about being pastor. You say, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say that we've had some giants in the land. We've had some mighty men serve in our midst, and we could all begin to name names, and some of them may not be well known and maybe obscure to most of society, but my friend, they had holes in the knees of their britches, and they wore out, the prayer closet, and they had contact with another world, and they knew the power of God, and they were old time, old fashioned, Bible believing, saved by the grace of God, delivered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, redeemed and headed to heaven. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Blood bought and saved, purchased by the blood of the Lamb of God. Like one preacher said, heaven bound with a hammer down. That's who said it, wasn't he? Amen, yeah. I begin to think about that, and I want to leave you three or four points tonight, and we'll be finished. Just preach as God would give us liberty. I feel his presence here tonight. It's good liberty here this evening. And you know, there's no reason for anybody to leave tonight less than being helped from God. This may be the very night that God may change you forever. My dear old grandpa, I mean that East Tennessee Cumberland Plateau mountain man, he told my grandma, he said, I'll go to church with you tonight. I'll go one time and I ain't going back. My friend, he made it up about 10 feet up the aisle, fell on his knees, got right with God, and he served the Lord all the days of his life. This could be the very night that God saves you and does a work in your heart that only God can do. I thought about Joshua. I mean, you know, we can read, we'll read to the end of this book here in a minute about what he has to say about me and my house. But here at this point in time, Joshua, you know, he was 110 at that time, but now he's probably a middle-aged man, and he's about to fill the shoes of the giant Moses. God's going to call on him to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise. And I thought about what shaped and molded the character of Joshua that made him the man that he was. I believe if we were to turn to Exodus, chapter number 33, I believe we'd find out some things about Joshua. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 7, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, far off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, glory, hallelujah, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. Now watch this now. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. May I say tonight, on the authority of God's word, hey, if you're going to get in a position and in a place to fill the shoes of the mighty men of God and the giants of this land and be a humble servant of God, you cannot depart from the church. And Joshua refused to leave the tabernacle. And my friend, if there's ever a day and time when we need to be committed and faithful and servants, it's this day in which we live. We need to make up our minds tonight that we're going to stick with the stuff and the old time way and the church, and we're not going to depart and flee to the things of this world. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know why. It's human nature, isn't it? We just... trouble comes. They call me pastor. I say I'm a pester. Trouble comes and people run into difficulties. And hey, and listen, if trouble's not come your way, honey, look out. It's around the corner. Hey, it's called life. And we're going to face problems in this world. And why is it that it's in our nature, this old carnal self, when we need God the most is when we seem like we're the most prone to flee and leave and run to the places of this world. The church can get along without me, but I can't get along without the church. He departed not out of the tabernacle. And then I notice in Exodus chapter 17, I take my watch off right here. One young boy asked his mother, said, "What's that mean?" She said, "Absolutely nothing." And let's go to Exodus chapter 17 as we look. Are you getting some help tonight? Are you glad to be saved? Are you glad to be here? Hey, listen, I noticed that he departed not out of the tabernacle. And also I noticed some things about him in verses 8 through 10 in chapter 17. The Bible said, "Then came Amalek and fought with Moses," or with Israel, "in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, 'Choose us out men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand.'" Glory. Notice verse 10. Glory. "So Joshua did as Moses said." Hey, listen, young people, if you're going to get some help from God, if you're going to be a help to others, if you're going to be a servant of the Lord, you've got to submit to biblical authority, to the authority of the scriptures and pastoral authority. Hey, one of the greatest things that a young man, maybe that's maybe God has begun to deal with his heart and burden him about preaching, is to get up under a good preacher like your pastor here tonight. Follow him, observe him, listen to him. And when he asks you to do something, you ought to be ready to do it with a smile on your face. We got too many renegades and rebels nowadays. And the Bible makes it very plain. Joshua didn't fuss with Moses. He didn't say, "Well, what about this? Have you considered this? Maybe we should try this." The Bible said he did as Moses said. Oh, listen, my friend. Not only did he depart not out of the tabernacle, not only was he willing to submit to leadership, but he was willing to fight for the people of God. Do you notice in that same verse? "So Joshua did as Moses had said to him," glory, "and fought with Amalek." Oh, listen, I'm going to tell you tonight, honey, there's some things worth fighting for. This old blessed black book is worth fighting for. This church is worth fighting for. Our communities are worth fighting for. This nation's worth fighting for. Our children's worth fighting for. Our grandchildren's worth fighting for. old-time Holy Ghost religion is worth fighting for. And I told someone, I said, you know something, my eighth great-grandpa came here, 1680-something, was jailed in England 6 times because he would not submit to the Anglican Church, and he was banished to the American College. And even though his sentence was commuted, he and his wife Sarah had had enough of that, and they came to these American colonies and where they could serve God with liberty of conscience. And his grandsons fought in the revolution, and my dad's dad was an old-fashioned mountain preacher, and my dad's a preacher, and God's called me to preach. And honey, as long as I've got breath, by the grace of God, I'm going to stand and fight till Jesus takes me home. Well, glory. Hallelujah. I'm sitting in church the other night. That little 2-year-old, well, soon be 3-year-old grandson sitting on my lap. Listen to the preacher preach. And he did like any 2 to 3-year-old. He went right for the pocket and got the pen. And I'm watching the preacher, and then it dawned on me in about 10 minutes that I was hearing click, click, click. And I looked down this way, and he had written all over my collar. I mean, writ all over my collar. And I got home, and had that been one of our children, they'd have probably got a spanking for it. But I took my shirt off and told my wife, I said, look, that ain't that sweet. You see something? That's because I'm a grandpa, you see. I told him yesterday, I said, come this summer, I said, we're going to be haymaking machines. I'm going to teach you how to bale hay. I'm going to teach you right. And I said, I want you to give me a kiss and one for Nina. And he gave one for me and one for her. And you know what? I'm telling you all this to say this. He's worth fighting for. I mean, because one of these days, if time should stand, he's going to get to an age where he's going to realize that he's lost and undone and in need of a Savior. And praise God, I pray that when that day comes, there'll still be some old-fashioned, blood-bought, Holy Ghost saved, regenerated Christians and some people to tell him what the Lord can do for him. Well, glory. He was willing to fight for the people of God. We was at church last night, and we were talking about the blessings, what you all done for us. And one of the men said, ain't it just amazing what the Lord's done? And he said, you know, just to think there was a time there where we maybe just had kind of lost some faith and really wasn't sure what to do. And he looked right at me and he said, oh, ye of little faith. And by that East Tennessee of my mother come back into me. And I said, oh, yuns of little faith. And so, you see, my friend, but God's able to do it again, isn't he? I believe God can do it again. God's alive and well, and Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. And somebody said, what's he doing? He ever liveth to make intercession for us. I mean, in heaven right now, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, and he's doing everything necessary to maintain our salvation and our standing before God. And when the devil would point that finger of accusation toward me, God looks at me, and he sees me through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, what sins are you talking about? And like a fat man going through a barbed wire fence, one more point and I'm done. I shouldn't have said that, should I? Can you believe I said that? I can't believe I said that. My goodness. I had one of the best coon dogs in the country. And here about a year ago, I got spiritual, And I gave it to my uncle down in Tennessee. And I've regretted it ever since. And someone said, "What'd you do that for?" I said, "I got spiritual there in a moment, felt sorry for him, gave him a dog." We do stuff like that, don't we? One more point, we're finished. Are you getting some help tonight? Do you love the Lord? Glad to be saved? Amen. Well, everything I've mentioned to you tonight so far has dealt with Moses, or as Joshua is a young man. What we might say is a young man. I don't think he was just a teenager, but he was a young man. And then maybe a little bit as he's more middle-aged life. But I want to look at him just for a minute. Just to be encouragement to you, especially you that are older. You know, because Joshua's going to get to the place, and he's 110 years old, and that's a good age, isn't it? And he's going to, and I bet most of you all have something, you probably have this verse, a lot of you, written in your house on the wall or something like that. And a lot of Christians do, and boy, it's a wonderful verse. And the Bible says, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." I like this part. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, what makes this so extra special was the fact that he was now saying it as a 100-plus-year-old man. And really what it's doing is it's establishing the fact that Joshua was faithful all the days of his life. And not only did he start well, and not only was he faithful, but he finished well. And my friend, hey, listen, it's not always the start that counts, but it's the finish that's most important. And when Jesus calls me out of this place, I want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Oh, listen, I want to, glory, I want to plant my feet in some spiritual cement. I want to stand and face the devil and the world and fight for the faith and contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints and stand here by God's grace until Jesus takes me home. Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua had come to a place where he was going to have to step up and take over. And all throughout this house tonight, there's Moseses and Joshuas. I mean, some Moseses that are getting into the sunset of life and some Joshuas that are coming up to a place where it's time for them to step up and begin to serve the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, my friend, you can't serve God on mommy and daddy's coattails. I mean, we're going to have to do it for ourselves. God's depending on, God's looking to you to be faithful.